Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Shall we pray? Almighty God, we thank you for a beautiful day like this. We know that you take care of us and you meet our needs. We thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made that made it possible for us to have a relationship with you. I pray, Father, as your word is preached today, that you will take away my flesh and fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that you will let the utterances of my mouth meet needs of people. We thank you for this opportunity that we all have to partake in sharing your word together. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Summertime, huh? It has arrived. Beautiful out there. But some of us are suffering. If you suffer from hay fever, you may want to ask for winter to come back. And I am one of those. But we won't begrudge you guys who are enjoying it. We will enjoy it with you too. As Roger said earlier, as a church, we are looking at the book of Acts. And I must confess, when, you know, I knew that we're going to be studying the book of Acts, I was saying, since we oversee the marriage ministry, I perhaps probably need to, you know, prepare a message ready, you know, just to meet the needs of the marriage, in case I'm called to preach. But when I got the call, I said, Acts 5? Okay, I was allocated Acts 2 and 3. I said, amen. The Lord has a way of actually sending messages to us at different times. So I am not going to talk about the marriage ministry today. But one day we will look at Ananias and Sapphira, and we also look at Priscilla and Aquila, which I believe, you know, are things we all need to really have on our hearts at marriage. You know, the book of Acts was actually written, you know, by Luke, to a man named Theophilus, who historians actually believe was a wealthy Roman citizen. Theophilus also means a lover of God. Because some names have meanings, and some names don't have meanings. But Theophilus has a meaning. It means a lover of God. So one can comfortably, you know, say that the book of Acts was written to all those who love God. You know, and also to show us the Acts of the Apostles and the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through them. You know, one main theme that stands out for me in the book of Acts is the spread of the gospel, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, with the constant aid of the Holy Spirit, the gospel grew from Jerusalem, and as the Bible says in Acts 1, to the ends of the earth. You know, along the way, the Spirit moved barriers so that the gospel can be spread. And what type of barriers? Religious barriers, racial barriers, physical handicaps, and philosophy. So that the word of God can actually be reached, you know, to all people, irrespective of their position in society or, you know, their status. The book of Acts also shows us that through the Holy Spirit, ordinary men can actually become extraordinary men. And I believe the Spirit is working amongst us today. You know, Acts 2 tells us, as Roger said, about the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost to enable the apostles to speak in various earthly languages. I need to stress that. Because before I actually, you know, accepted the gospel, I thought speaking in tongue was something mysterious. And there are some churches today, if you don't speak in tongue, they don't count you as a believer. And they all build their faith on speaking in tongues. But we know, according to the accounts in the book of Acts, that it was an earthly, you know, language, you know, that they spoke. You know, 2 points I would like to make today. The first one is carry someone to Jesus. And the second one is give your heart to God in repentance. Acts chapter 3. Begin to read. Are you with me today? Amen. Our God is an awesome God. And the singing today has truly been amazing. You see, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those from those who go into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankle became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as a man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You know, the title of my message today is "What I Have, I Give to You." I believe every single one of us have got something to give to someone. You know, I don't know about whether any of you had opportunity, you know, to visit the Millennium Dome before it closed. I certainly did. And one section of it, it has two sides: skills and no skills. And in my own, you know, mischievous way, I thought, let me just try and go through the no skills door. Guess what? It wouldn't open. I said, try to bash the door open. No, it wouldn't open. Everybody was forced to go through the skills door. And I walked on the other side. I can't say, wow, there must be something here for me to learn. Every single man and woman on earth has got at least one skill. And as disciples, God has given us those skills to actually use to advance the kingdom. So what skills do you have today? I want to encourage you to bring those skills to the fore and use them for the advancement of God's kingdom. Carry someone to Jesus. You know, a few things I want to talk about from the verses I have read. Time of prayer. Prayer is a way that God's people actually constantly, you know, stay in touch with God. How is our prayer life going? What kind of things do we pray about? Are there things about God's kingdom? We know that God's business done God's way will never lack God's supply, because God will always supply so that our needs can be met for the advancement of the gospel. I believe one sign of a healthy church is really how individual members are praying and how collectively we are praying, both privately and publicly. I think it's something that we all need to take seriously, you know, in terms of communicating, you know, with God. A man crippled from birth was restored to good health. My first point, carry someone to Jesus. Just imagine this guy. The Bible tells us he was over 40 years old. So for over 40 years, his friends have been bringing him to the same spot every single day without fail, so that his needs will be met. And now I've read that, I say, wow. There was no account of them feeling weary. There was no account of them, you know, feeling angry that, oh man, I have to carry you every single day. But they did it. As a result, this guy's need was met on this particular day. Now I had to stop and ask myself a question. Who am I actually carrying to Jesus? And we cannot talk about the book of Acts and say, as a church, we are focusing on the book of Acts and really don't talk about prayer and carrying people to Jesus. And for us to carry people to Jesus, we truly need to reaffirm our own personal convictions on what, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ means to every single one of us. If there was no Christian around today, how will I, as Remy Alaka, actually, you know, advance the gospel of Christ? What will I be doing? It's easy for me to come around here and get encouragement from my brothers and sisters. Well, what am I doing when I am by myself, behind closed doors? What is really going on in my heart? These are the kind of questions I was asking myself as I was preparing this message. What about you? What is really going on about in your own heart about carrying someone, you know, to Jesus? Prayer. You know, I'm sure his friends probably be praying that his needs will be met one day. I mean, I had to just look back at my own personal conversion. You know, as some of you, you know, may know and some may not know, Helen became a disciple in August 1986. And a great day for her. And she came home all excited. Yes! I found a new faith. I am excited about my faith. I said, okay, good for you. But in Nigeria, where I came from, every other house is a church. So you can get excited about what you just found. But I have seen hundreds of churches. And by the way, on one street, you can have 10 different churches on one street. And they are all different. It's different. Not only churches, you have mosques at the same time. So if you do night shifts, man, you are not going to get much sleep. Because as one finishes, the other starts. Anyway, I thought, yeah, it's good for you. And then I never accepted the gospel myself until 1989. But between 1986 and 1989, a lot of things happened in my life that I look back on today. And I wished I had accepted the gospel in 1986. Because a lot of those things are things I personally just want to forget. We're talking about, you know, stealing. Yes, I used to shoplift. You might not believe it, but I used to do that regularly. You know, messing about, you know, with women. Looked at that now and say, wow, what a turkey. You know, looking back, there were not necessary things to do. I just feel ashamed that I've got myself entrapped in that kind of lifestyle. Smoking, partying, drinking. Man, I remember being a supervisor in a company. I had ghost workers. They just appeared on the register, but you don't see them. But at the end of the month, guess who gets their money? I get their money. And I'd make a false account to the company. And I look back, I said, man, but I thank God that the gospel changed my life. Because if not, that's the life I will still be living till today. And who says I will be alive till today anyway? I'll probably be dead with somebody, you know, looking around to shoot me down because I had cheated them or I've done something wrong. But I thank God that the gospel opened my eyes. How about you today? If you are visiting with us, we are sinners. We are not claiming that we are better than anybody else. But one thing that we do say is that Jesus has a standard. And everyone who says they are a believer or a Christian must follow the standards of Jesus Christ. Nothing else but that standard. And that standard means self-denial. That standard means living for Christ. That standard means giving up whatever it is that is your tie with the world. And say no to the world. And say yes to Jesus. To the glory of God. And you know what? God is looking on you. Looking at you. To help you. To change somebody's life. People. And I appreciate people saying, you know, after I became a Christian, we were praying for you. At that time, the word praying for you doesn't really mean anything to me. It was like alien to me. But now I can understand it. When someone says they are praying for you, that means they are petitioning God on your behalf. And we know that our God, He works in mysterious ways. And I'm grateful for those. Shall I just mention Dawn Akilade here? You know, in those days, she was around. And I'm really grateful. You know, Dawn was one of those people that actually inspired me to actually want to look in the Bible. As a single woman, every single Saturday she would be at our house. And she was discipling Helen, who is married. So some marriage, if singles have things to say to you, just listen up. Because the word of God that can come out through anybody to you. But how open is our heart? When God speaks, we ought to listen. Please, let's take that to heart. Who are you carrying to Jesus? Another point I wanted to make on that note. You see, the man was known to all. He had never walked. When he was healed, basically, he was told to stand up and walk, which meant put one foot in front of the other to transport himself, you know, to go somewhere from A to B. But I think we should pause for a moment and note what walk actually means spiritually. You see, but walk in Scripture is also the shortest shorthand for expressing every aspect of Christian life. You know, Paul writes to the congregation in Corinth. He says, if we are alive in the Spirit, then let us walk by the Spirit. Throughout the epistles, the apostles tell us that Christians are to walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of their calling. Walk as children of the light. We are to walk in newness of life. We are to walk in honesty, in love, in faith, and truthfully. You know, John tells us to walk in the commands of Jesus Christ. I just want to go through some scriptures here that I found, you know, that were helpful to me, you know, to understand what it actually meant to walk as a Christian walks. You know, you don't need to, you can just take references here. In 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6, Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. In Proverbs 14 verse 2, whoever fears the Lord walks upright, and whosoever despises him are devious in their ways. In Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly, you know, with your God. In John 8 verse 12, you know, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In Galatians 5:16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 2 verse 6, whoever claims to be in him must walk as Jesus did. In 2 John 1 6, and this is love, that we walk in obedience, you know, to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His commands is that you walk in love. There are over 201, you know, verses on just walking, you know, in the Spirit of God, in the Scriptures. I've just given you a few of those. How is your walk with God going? If you call yourself a Christian, and you are not living by the standards laid down for us by Christ, we need to repent. And that's why the word repentance is good. So, my first point basically is to our members. Because we need to address each other as brothers and sisters according to the Scriptures and call each other to the standard that Christ expects us to live by. That doesn't mean visitors shouldn't listen though. And then the second point is for everybody. Okay? You know, when people saw the miracle that was done through the life of this crippled man being healed, what happened? The Bible tells us they were amazed. But Peter saw an opportunity to remind them of the key requirements that everyone needs to embrace what the word repentance means. My second point. Give your heart to God in repentance. Let's pick up from verse 17. Now, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through the prophets, saying that his Christ will suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who he has appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything he has promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from anyone, from among you, among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people." Man, that is pretty heavy, isn't it? But the key thing I want to emphasize there is repent and turn to God. See, the word repentance is very good because it's applicable to everyone. It's actually a universal word. It means that we just need to turn away from our sinful ways and turn, you know, to God's way of life. You know, it says here, it has two parts to it. The people were told that they need to repent. And we know repentance means turning of hearts away from sinful ways and to God. But he also says they need to return, which involves some form of action. You know, Peter didn't really tell us what the action, you know, the requirements is in chapter 3. But if you look in Acts chapter 2, in verse 38, he actually spells it out. He said, we need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus, for the remission of our sins. And then we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is actually given to somebody who has fully repented. It's not just available to anyone. Somebody who has fully repented. Have you fully repented today? For those of us who have accepted the gospel, are we sliding back to our old ways? Or are we holding on, you know, to the standard that Christ has given us? To the standard that we all signed up for when we got baptized? But you see, the thing is, no matter wherever we are at today, God still wants us to repent. He wants us to change our hearts, to be able to embrace spiritual things, so that we can be more useful for him. And a man, for me personally, a man or woman that refuse to repent, they are actually stagnating their walk with God. And I don't know about you. I don't know the longest walk you've ever done or the longest race you've ever run in. Walking on the spot is tiring. If you walk 5 miles on the spot, man, and just imagine you're walking 5 miles. At least you are going somewhere. Rather than on the spot, it's weary. Let's not march on the spot as disciples of Christ. Let's make sure we are moving forward. And the only way we can move forward is by repenting. What is it that we need to repent of? It's a daily, continuous thing. You know, having said that, I mean, a few days ago, and that's why it's great, you know, to have a great wife, you know, that can tell you things that you need to hear. And also have great kids that can tell you things you need to hear. And above all, have great friends that can tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And I came back from work, you know, one day, and I was just into myself. And Helen said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm going through that phase again." She said, "What do you mean, going through that phase again?" I said, "Phase of, you know, spirit of uselessness. You know, insecurity. I can't really do much. Who am I? You know, why am I even doing the job I'm doing? What's going on?" I was just down. And she said, "Well, the problem is, you think too much about the past." She said, "She just forgets everything. Maybe that's how you need to be." And what was the issue? Things I could have done, I should have done 2 weeks ago, I was still carrying them, and they were still not done. So I got overwhelmed. She said, "Well, why didn't you just do them?" and then just put the past behind? Why carry the past with you? I said, okay, thank you. And then we had friends come around as well. And obviously I was reading a book there, Reinvent Yourself. You know, and that book just talks about, you know, different type of life traps. You know, about how your upbringing affects you today. Awesome book. But after that, taking in the negative bits about that book. You know, about my upbringing. And then obviously we had friends around. And they too said, well, you know what? Yeah, maybe you should actually forget about that book and just think about the positive bits. I said, amen. Sometimes we can actually put ourselves in negative mode. That doesn't advance the gospel. We need to be able to put ourselves in positive mindset so that the Spirit can be alive in us today. What is it that you need to change? If you are a friend visiting today, what does repentance mean to you? If you are a regular member of this church, what does repentance mean to you? Have we stopped repenting? Or are we just holding on to what we think is right? And biblically, it's not. But when people open the scriptures and shows you the way of light, what's your attitude? We cannot be people who are not responding to the scriptures. You know, the greatest thing we have going for us is our response to the scriptures. And our effectiveness as Christians will be dependent on how obedient we are to the scriptures. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. Repentance is a good word. Amen? That moves me nicely into chapter 4. You know, the healing of the crippled man actually brought them on collision course, you know, with the authorities. They were arrested. They were put in jail. The amazing thing was, the result of their arrest and imprisonment was 2,000 saved souls. If you look in chapter 4, verse 4. You know, they were brought before the highest court in the land because of the act of goodness they showed to a crippled beggar. Let's pick it up from verse 7. Are you with me?
Yes.
It says, then they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a crippled, and I ask how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And we say amen to that.
Amen.
Other religion will give you a way of life. But Christianity is the only one that gives us a way of life and salvation. And I'm grateful that I accepted that. Aren't you? At the end of our lives, salvation is the thing, you know. Anyway, that's just a slight digression there. Let's get back to the scriptures. You know, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But they could not see, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and confer together. What are we going to do, you know, with this man? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Just imagine. Just telling disciples, apostles of Jesus Christ, that are testifying on what they have seen and heard, to stop talking about the gospel. You are not going to stop them. No wonder they said, you judge for yourself whether we should obey you rather than God. What stops us today from actually having the same courage that these brothers had, that they have demonstrated? What is it that actually cripples us? What fear descends on us? You know, because of their boldness, because of their courage, they were able to advance the gospel. And the Holy Spirit enabled them. And the Spirit is present today. It's working in our lives. So what that tells me is us that is stopping ourselves. And we allow fear to paralyze us. You know what? It is God that does it. God wants you out of the picture. He wants to use your spirit to connect with people. He's using his spirit is around, strengthening those who are faithfully committed to him. That's what Chronicle tells us. You know, brothers and sisters, don't allow fear to take over your life. Fear will paralyze us. And as we are going through the book of Acts, our faith needs to increase. Our courage needs to increase. Our trust in God needs to increase. Our confidence in God needs to increase. Because the Spirit is working in you. And we need to fan that Spirit into flame so that it can do its work in our lives. There are so many people begging for the gospel. And guess what? We are the ones that God will send. You know, the Bible tells us that harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, if you are a harvester, you are not going to harvest where there is nothing to harvest. God knows that people are out there. All we need to do is to tap into God and be connected with Him the right way. And He will do amazing things in our lives. And we will see, you know, the explosion, you know, in this church. You know, the healing was done in Jesus' name. You know, as he says in verse 19, judge for yourselves whether we should obey you rather than God. They can only speak of what they've seen and heard. We have seen a lot. And we have heard a lot. In 21 years I've been in this church, I have seen amazing things. I have seen somebody who God put in my path outside of Wandsworth prison, and I spoke to him. We studied the Bible. He became a disciple. And after he got his baptism, he said, I don't know why God actually asked you to meet me in front of Wandsworth prison. Because I was about to commit murder. I would rather be inside if you had delayed. As we walk about every day, the Spirit is directing us to different people. For the person that met Helen, just spoke the word of God on the bus and did not give her any invitation card, but walked away. But a friend of my younger brother that was staying with us, in fact, the only way he got a visa at Gatwick Airport was because he lied. And then when they phoned Helen, because we were not disciples then, they said, do you know this guy? And I said, okay, if he's given my husband's name, then okay, he's coming to stay here. All right, I know him. And that's how he got his visa to come in. But we did not know that him coming through that means will help Helen become a disciple. Helen was met on the bus inside in Clapham South. And this guy was in East London. He was given the same invitation card that his sister never gave to Helen. He got home and threw it in the bin. Ah! I didn't come from Nigeria to come to church here. I come to work. So where is this person inviting me to church? Just threw it in the bin. Helen said, picked it up. That's like the invitation that lady had, but never gave me. I'm going to go along anyway. That's how she became a Christian. And as a result of that, I'm grateful to God today that our marriage, you know, that was heading towards divorce, it's now a marriage that we can look, you know, and say, God, you are awesome. Brothers and sisters, let us remind ourselves, really, of the mission that we have. The mission of seeking and saving, you know, the lost. The mission of allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our lives like never before. You know, to everyone, let's give our heart back to God. Because if we don't give our heart back to God, we are holding back, you know, what plan God has for you. You know, today I hope your hearts have been encouraged. I hope your hearts have been challenged. I hope your heart is now full of fire. I hope your heart is now full of repentance. Because repentance leads to a time of refreshing. And I pray that the Lord will refresh all of us. Thank you for listening. As we